This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Cincinnati is now a certified 2030 district. That means by the year 2030, local governments and companies hope to cut back on pollution and increase sustainability. Earlier, I spoke with the then leader of the local 2030 district and representatives from two large local companies who are involved in that effort. And we want to note that at the time of this interview, Tremaine Phillips was the director of the Cincinnati 2030 district, but we learned today that he is no longer in that role and that the organization is searching for new leadership. The information provided in the interview, however, is accurate as presented. We're joined now by Cincinnati 2030 District Director Tremaine Phillips. Welcome, Tremaine.
Thank you, Michael.
We also have with us Fifth Third Bank Assistant Vice President and Environmental Sustainability Leader Jeremy Faust. Welcome.
Good morning.
And we also have the Head of Sustainability at the Kroger Company, Lisa Zwack. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So we had a show recently that featured a national climate scientist warning us that Cincinnati is set to quadruple the number of days in which we experience a heat index above 100 degrees. So I'm wondering, is the search for a more sustainable future and greener energy here in the city a way to combat the local effects of climate change, Tremaine?
Certainly. One of the reasons why we started the Cincinnati 2030 District was to work with our commercial buildings here in the Cincinnati region to achieve substantive, bold reductions in greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2030. And not only do we want to work on promoting and instituting those solutions to reach those bold and substantive reductions, we also thought it was important to build a culture around sustainability here in the region as well. So working with our Fortune 500 companies, working with the city of Cincinnati, and working with our nonprofit and healthcare and other academic institutions, how can we build a culture that really looks at sustainability as not only being an important environmental and moral responsibility for our region, but also as a means of creating new economic development opportunities and talent attraction and retainment opportunities for the region as well?
We read that nationally, buildings account for about 39% of greenhouse gases, but the built environment in Cincinnati accounts for 60%. What's that disparity about?
Certainly. If you're on 75 or 71 and you look at the downtown skyline of Cincinnati, it's very concentrated. Those buildings take a lot of energy, a lot of electricity, a lot of natural gas to heat and cool. And certainly here in our region, energy that it takes to heat and cool those buildings is primarily coming from fossil fuel resources, which are very carbon intensive and account for a great percentage of greenhouse gas emissions. So that is in large part why those commercial buildings have that high ratio of greenhouse gas impacts here in this region. But I don't want to villainize those structures. These buildings here in Cincinnati, they are often our greatest landmarks. They're our best promoters of the region. I come from Michigan. Many people from Michigan, they either have visited Cincinnati or driven past it on 75. And one thing that they remark about is the beautiful skyline. And that skyline is represented by the buildings here in the region. And not only that, it's also those buildings represent a great cultural importance. We have just an enormous amount of history represented in those structures as well. So I think connecting that cultural significance and that historical significance to what those buildings are looking to achieve and looking to do in regards to enhancing their sustainability attributes, I think it's just a very important story to tell here in the region.
We often hear in the urban core when there's redevelopment happening that it's important to save the buildings that are already there, a lot of the historic structures, perhaps from the Victorian era. And a lot of those downtown skyline buildings either date from that period or not long after, through the Art Deco period, I suppose. What is wrong with them that makes them emit so much of a greenhouse gas?
Yeah, certainly. I think there are a number of ways that you can approach reaching the goals of the 2030 district within those buildings. So just to quickly recall that the Cincinnati 2030 district, our goal is to reduce district-wide energy usage, water consumption, and transportation related emissions 50% by the year 2030. So when we're looking at those buildings downtown, we're looking at ways that we can increase energy efficiency within those structures? How can we increase water efficiency and usage in those structures? How can we look at other means of transportation for the employees and occupants of those buildings so that they don't have to rely on single occupancy vehicle usage in order to get to their place of work or to their place of business? So, there are a myriad of different solutions that we can look for those structures downtown. And again, there's nothing particularly wrong with those buildings, but like your house or like your phone or like anything else, over time, things need to be updated and need to look at new technologies and opportunities to become more efficient. And the same thing needs to be done with our building envelopes.
But unlike our houses, these are pretty large structures in many cases. So it sounds expensive. So let me bring Jeremy and Lisa into this. You all represent two of the larger corporations that are here in town. Jeremy from Fifth Third Bank, Lisa from Kroger. So Jeremy, when your company looks at the cost of this type of investment, how do they justify it? What's the motivation behind being a part of it?
Yeah, so the goals of the 2030 district are well aligned with what we're trying to achieve at Fifth Third Bank. Back in 2017, we launched our first set of public sustainability goals, trying to reduce our energy usage, greenhouse gas emissions, water consumption, trying to reduce the amount of waste we create, and also a bold goal to try to achieve 100% renewable power. So I think the goals of the district are well aligned with what we're trying to do as an organization. Increasingly, what we're seeing from our peers and other organizations throughout the community and throughout the country. There's also a great opportunity here to collaborate with partners within the city to help achieve these goals. I think sustainability is less a competitive venture and more about collaboration. It's about working together to achieve things that maybe we can't entirely achieve on our own. So working with partners like Kroger and others in the community that are doing bold things with sustainability supports and allows us to continue along this journey to try to achieve what we want to do. There's organizations in our community that don't have the luxury of having full-time sustainability staff like Fifth Third and Kroger do. So I think another way we're kind of giving back and supporting this project is by using our expertise and our knowledge to share with other organizations, other building owners in the Cincinnati community that want to achieve these things but need a little support along the way. And I'm certainly excited to be part of this venture so that we can do that here in Cincinnati.
And Lisa, same question. How what makes Kroger want to be a part of this? How do you look at the cost and think, yeah, we can do this, we should do this?
So for Kroger, you know, joining the 2030 district was really a natural fit for us as an organization. We have, we're committed to being a responsible corporate citizen, including in the communities where we operate as a company. We bring this commitment to life in different ways. So one example is our Zero Hunger, Zero Waste Social Impact Plan, which we launched about 2 years ago, which is our vision to end hunger in our communities and eliminate waste across the company. And then the 2030 district is another great example of how we bring this commitment to being a responsible corporate citizen to life in terms of using natural resources responsibly, increasing efficiency, and reducing waste across our operations. And we also really value the partnerships that Jeremy was talking about as well, the value of collaboration. When we launched also Zero Hunger, Zero Waste, we said we can't do these types of things alone. We need internal and external expertise. We need partners and new ideas and innovation. And the 2030 district really embodies that. And so it just really made sense for us because it aligns with work we're already doing and kind of where we want to go as an organization. In terms of reducing energy and water and our overall emissions.
Jermaine, how did you get the corporate buy-in?
What's been amazing here, and I've worked in a number of communities across the Midwest on similar sustainability environmental initiatives, is that here in Cincinnati, there's already a lot of inertia and a lot of momentum around these efforts. I think that's in part the leadership of Fortune 500 companies like Kroger and like Fifth Third Bank, as well as P&G, all of which have stepped forward and were founding members of the district. I think that's also been the leadership of our mayor here. The city of Cincinnati recently became a Bloomberg Philanthropies recipient of the American Climate Cities Challenge Award. We've also been recognized here, the city of Cincinnati, as being one of the most sustainable regions in the country by Site Selection Magazine, now for the third year in a row, one of the most sustainable metro regions. So there's already a lot of momentum and inertia around this topic. And so really it's been about aligning all of these ongoing efforts and initiatives and really trying to put forth tangible solutions to help our building members reduce their greenhouse gas emissions and reduce their consumption.
Oh, so what's going on when the city of Cincinnati gets those kinds of accolades for its sustainability, but you also look at the statistics that we talked about just moments ago about the greenhouse gas emissions from our built environment being about a third higher percentage-wise than the national average?
Yeah, that's I think really critical for us to continuously look at the real impacts of climate change, not only globally with June and July being the hottest months on record, nationally with the intense hurricane seasons that we've had over the last 2 years, as well as the wildfires out west, and then locally. I live in Michigan, and again, driving on 75, I've had to go through North Dayton a number of times over the last several months and the 19 tornadoes that impacted that region in May. And we have the landslides and the floods that are occurring in this region as well. So I think in the work that we do, we have to continue to look at the real impacts of climate change and the real impacts that are taking place across this region. And I think that helps to just stir increased momentum and increased urgency for taking part in these efforts going forward.
Our conversation about Cincinnati's 2030 district continues after this short break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking today about the Cincinnati 2030 District. We have the director of Cincinnati 2030 District with us, Tremaine Phillips. And from Fifth Third Bank, we have Jeremy Faust. And from the Kroger Company, we have Lisa Zwack. They're two corporate entities that are heavily involved in the 2030 District project. And 2030 is a reference to a year.
Correct.
Why that year?
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, so the international body of climatologists and scientists who are really looking to project when the moderate to worst impacts of climate change will take place across the globe. They have really marked 2030 as being the year that we need to have international, substantial international efforts to reduce and limit greenhouse gas emissions in order to lessen the greatest impacts of climate change going forward. So what you're really seeing around the country and around the globe are a number of organizations and institutions who are advocating around climate change, really starting to align under this 2030 metric and this goal. Certainly, 2030, is not an end date. We're looking at improvements, and we're already, as an organization, looking at timelines beyond 2030. But it does help to create some alignment, and I know personally, having a deadline always really helps to create some urgency.
Lisa, is that timeline a challenge for something as large as Kroger?
No, I think that's actually a reasonable timeline. I mean, we need some time to accomplish the things that we want to do and, you know, try new technologies and innovate and find new things and share best practices and resources amongst the members. But to Tremaine's point, I think having a timeline also makes sense. And as you know, the 23rd District, too, is great because it's celebrating a lot of the great work that organizations who are members are already doing. So I think many of us are on the path already. So 2030 is another milestone along that path for us as a company.
I'm wondering how the two corporate representatives may be able to explain the way you're interacting with your customers about this issue. And with you being from the banking industry, Jeremy, talk about your opportunities to interact with people who are just coming in for their day-to-day business and what that presents for you to spread this message.
Yeah, great question, Michael. So as I've continued to spend time at the bank, I've been there about 3 years, and as the bank continues to evolve its sustainability programs and practices, I am hearing from a lot of folks about their support and excitement for what we're doing. So that's always extremely encouraging. to support and really to continue to build momentum throughout Fifth Third for the work that we're doing. But what has shocked me or surprised me, I should say, in the work that I'm doing is I originally anticipated this being very focused on customers, just to your point, that we were trying to engage our customers around sustainability. And I certainly think that's part of it. But a big part of what Fifth Third is trying to do is internal focused. It's building a culture of practices that are going to impact our employees so that they understand that we're doing work that's important to them and important to the communities in which we live. I am really inspired by that. I really think it takes not just one or two people at an organization, but an entire network of people to really drive bold, ambitious sustainability goals like this. And to really build that buy-in and support at the organization, you've got to establish that culture. And I give a lot of credit to the leadership at Fifth Third for being supportive of that sort of work and really wanting to create that culture. And the customer kind of engagement and excitement that comes with that, I really think help carries forward the organization moving forward and will continue to serve us well in the business side as well as the sustainability side.
And Lisa, I guess compared to a regular banking branch, Kroger stores see a higher volume of people in and out each day. So I imagine plastic bags and those types of messages are something that the company is discussing in terms of sustainability with its customers.
That's right. Yeah. And we, you know, just generally our customers and many citizens, I think, are just looking for companies to become increasingly more sustainable, whether that be the products they sell or how they engage with the customer in store or what we're doing in our own operations or even in our own supply chain. So we definitely, you know, get that feedback from customers as well as a lot of other stakeholders, too, that we engage with on a regular basis. So, we listen to what they're looking for and we try to respond to that. And, like the plastic bags is a perfect example of trying to move the needle and bring our customers along on that journey to be more sustainable. And that's true for many of the things that we do as a company, too, in terms of our environmental impacts, which are, you know, varied given what we do.
Tremaine, the current boundary of the 2030 project seems to encompass just the Central Business District. I've seen some of your, renderings that suggest that it could branch out to Uptown where the University of Cincinnati is or over to Northern Kentucky where Covington and Newport are. And before we explore those opportunities, is it enough to just focus on the Central Business District right away?
I think it was important for us to start in the area that had the highest concentration of square footage. So right now we have 24 members that are a part of the 2030 district effort, and they have committed over 200 properties and 20 million square feet of real estate to the 2030 district. And the vast majority of that is coming from our downtown central business district. But we don't want that to be a limiting factor for organizations and companies to participate. We have a number of institutions such as the University of Cincinnati and the Cincinnati Zoo, as well as Malink Corporation, who participate and lie outside that boundary. But I will say it is not enough to just concentrate downtown. We must look at engaging the neighborhoods as well. And that's something that we certainly have been looking at in terms of how can we begin to develop and pilot solutions downtown and then bring those opportunities to neighborhoods throughout Cincinnati.
What does it take to expand into those areas you identified, Uptown, Covington, and Newport?
Really, it takes participation. And so we've been able to begin to start outreaching to different regions of the greater Cincinnati area. And once we begin to aggregate kind of demand, our interest from large commercial real estate and businesses in those regions will begin to expand the district appropriately.
How do you interact with the different governments that are involved? How do you get them on board? In Cincinnati, you have a city and a county, certainly. And then once you get into Northern Kentucky, you have a whole different animal. Covington and Newport are in different counties, so you have two more cities and two more counties to deal with.
We treat municipalities largely like any organization. They have buildings that that they own and that they want to make substantial improvements to in many cases. We see the argument for them as being a way to save taxpayer dollars in order to to have a better relationship with the residents of those communities. And they can do that by helping to increase the efficiency and the sustainability of the buildings that they occupy. So certainly we have to engage each municipality on an individual basis, but those conversations have been going very well because it directly relates to kind of that the relationship that they have with the residents of those communities.
The urban communities around here, which are all identified in this project plan, are seeing some pretty significant growth for business and residential projects, often requiring new buildings. Are the architecture and construction communities on board in a significant way?
They are. They are. And we have quite a robust architecture and design community here. And particularly, we have just an outstanding continual flow of students coming from the DAP program at the University of Cincinnati as well. And we have really relied on that community to be kind of the intellectual leaders behind what are those particular solutions and improvements that we can recommend to building owners throughout the region. So currently, M&A architects as well as Emergent Design are both not only members but professional partners of the district. So they've committed their individual buildings as well as their offering services and solutions to members of the district in order to accomplish those ambitious sustainability goals.
One of the new buildings coming to downtown Cincinnati will have the Kroger name on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what strategies you implemented in that project to reflect the priorities of this project.
Yeah, so yeah, we're very excited about that store opening here sometime next month. And, you know, that store will really reflect some of the great, you know, energy efficient technologies that we're employing in our other stores as well. So LED lighting, you know, for the lighting system, you know, HVAC controls that are, you know, more efficient as well as other things. So yeah, we're really excited about that that store opening soon.
And Jeremy, I wonder if there are opportunities through the banks. Are there incentives for borrowers who are embarking upon a project that implements or emphasizes these types of green strategies?
So that's something that we're still looking into. Our focus initially, and certainly akin to the 2030 project, has been on our internal operations, making sure that we're being efficient and effective with the energy, water, et cetera, that we're using, engaging programs for our employees, and really how we operate as an organization, as a partner in the communities in which we serve. But the bank does a tremendous amount of work in the renewable power space, specifically around solar lending. That's a market that's continued to grow tremendously over the last decade or so, and we're happy to be well engaged in that space and lending into creating these new solar projects that are taking place across the country.
So I know in banking, you have other banks that you benchmark against, and same for the grocery industry as well. What cities, Tremaine, are we benchmarking here in Cincinnati to see how we're doing, either to compare or maybe to aspire to?
So the Cincinnati 2030 District is part of a national organization called the 2030 Districts Network. So there are 22 2030 districts across the country. And in this region, there's actually a high concentration of these districts. And those that we often consult with and are looking to as beacons and as ones that are really kind of on the vanguard for this program would be the city of Cleveland and the city of Pittsburgh, but also communities that may surprise you, like Grand Rapids and the city of Detroit, are also doing some incredible things with their 2030 districts as well.
We're always stuck in the AFC Central, aren't we? No matter what it is that we're doing, it's the AFC Central.
Yes.
What can individuals do?
That's a great question. In regards to the 2030 district, certainly if you are an employee of one of these organizations or companies that are a part of the district, trying to advocate for your organization to become a part of the 2030 district effort, we think is critically important. And there are a number of things that employees and occupants of buildings can do in order to help to create a sense of culture around sustainability and environmental awareness in their organizations as well. So we're particularly concentrating on those commercial building owners, developers, commercial tenants. But there's a lot that can be done with those employees as well.
Tremaine Phillips is the director of the Cincinnati 2030 District. Jeremy Faust is the assistant vice president and environmental sustainability leader at Fifth Third Bank. And Lisa Zwack is the head of sustainability at the Kroger Company. You can find more details on the 2030 District at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. Thanks to all of you for coming in today and chatting about this with us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.